This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Mike Rakebrand and Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5radio.org. The number is 7-5radio.org. If I sound a little bit different, I am speaking on the hotline. We're having some technical difficulties with my new computer. Anyways, it is November 9th, 2024, one of the greatest weeks in American history. But anyways, let's get started. Walter, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
We're doing pretty well. All's good down here in southern Middle Tennessee. All's good.
Outstanding. Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Outstanding. Anyways, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners, including Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Onondaga's New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers. Also to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, and all the listeners on Long Island, especially in the 2nd Congressional District. Anyways, our first order of business is to remember the members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight we remember police officer Enrique Martinez of the Chicago, Illinois Police Department, end of watch November 4th, 2024. His killer, fortunately, is in custody. Anyways, unlike every other media outlet on the planet, we're going to do something different. We're going to talk about the second most important story of the week. And, of course, it took place in the Washington, D.C. area. On the hotline, we have Ms. Annetta Catchings, who was harassed by a Karen. Annetta, how are you doing tonight, ma'am?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. It's good to be on your show tonight. I had no idea when I posted that story. I had no idea it would go as viral as it did. I'm glad that it did, but I just had no idea. But I think that it was kind of God's timing. God orchestrated. And it couldn't have happened at a more perfect time given the election and who we know to be the core base of Kamala's supporters. I mean, none of this was planned. It was simply organic. It was me frustrated by the attacks that I get from the left, the assumptions made when people see me, they think that because I'm a black female, I'm a Democrat, so I've learned to handle situations like that in a way that's non-confrontational, that tends to de-escalate any situation. But the way that her name is Patricia, she was hashtagged coffee shop racist. The way she came at me was probably the most vicious attack that I've ever had from the left. And but I think that I think I was just prepared for that moment, having dealt with it before. Yeah. So many times.
Another, why don't you tell us what happened at the coffee shop with this lady I nicknamed Karen?
Yeah, my friends and I had just come from a CBS interview, Women for Trump. And we were asked a series of questions. Like I said, they were pretty much involving our thoughts on abortion and our assessment on the Trump campaign, Harris's campaign, and just how, you know, a lot of these topics were being advertised, and what were our thoughts as women. And so we got to the table in Tate's, and the name of the restaurant is Tate's in the heart of Old Town Alexandria. So we're at the table and we're just kind of talking about our responses from the interview. And I hearkened on something I said in the interview regarding Liz Cheney. And that, because that was one of the questions, did we think that women, conservative women, would secretly cast their vote for Kamala Harris? And I just, you know, my view was, yes, there will be some Liz Cheney fans that will most likely vote for Kamala Harris. It was the entire reason why she was brought onto the Harris campaign. So that was my answer. But I also said that Liz Cheney was never a conservative. She's a neocon. She's the establishment on the right, aligning with the establishment on the left. And that's what I said. And then I followed it up with, as a conservative woman, I could never see myself voting for Kamala Harris. Before I could get out my reasons why, Patricia leans over. I had no idea they were even listening to us. We were, you know, we weren't talking loud or anything like that, but it's just a very open environment. So voices carry. And so before I could even get my reasons out, she leans over into my face and said, yeah, unless she's running against a known felon, a criminal. And so she came so close to me that I had to really push myself back. And so the video doesn't show her getting in my face initially. It doesn't show that, because who knew that she would do that? So I just kind of responded with a joke. You know, again, I'm sort of used to diffusing things. And so I said, oh, you mean the criminal that she currently serves under, Joe Biden, that criminal? So my table, you know, they laugh. And at that point, one of my girlfriends, she takes out a Trump hat and she puts it on her head. Like, she didn't walk into the restaurant with that Trump hat on. She only put it on when I made that joke to let her know we're standing solidly in our support of Trump. So I high-five her and we're laughing. And so in our minds, we're thinking, okay, you know, we'll go back to being, you know, to our conversation. That was not, I think that infuriated her even more. And that's when she said, you're serious. And so at that point, that's where the video picks up, where she then comes back in my face and she said, you're serious. And I told her, yeah, I'm serious. And then I quickly say, why is it always white liberal women who challenge me? And so that's where the video picks up. And she gets even more upset, and she, you know, she's really sparked by that comment. And she then goes in to declare that she was once a Republican. You know, you can hear the video where she says, well, I was once a Republican and now I'm a Democrat. And I said, okay, well, I called it right. You're a Democrat. And so, yeah, so it got fiery from there. She, you know, screams in my face. I'm, you know, a 35-year security expert. And at this point, I'm just like, woman, I've had enough of you. And I'm like, I really don't give a crap who you are. And so then you could, at that point, there's a gentleman who's not even a manager. In the video, you'll see a black guy who's kind of trying to shush me, and which infuriates me because you're bringing it to the wrong person. Now that I look at it, he had his phone out. I think he was recording the situation. He may have been recording the situation, but he was trying to shush, you know, trying to bring down the level.
Right. Now that we're coming to our first commercial break, can you stand by and
sure.
We'll finish what happened at the coffee house in Alexandria? All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Danila's Instagram account. Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop standing with Walter Yerkew and Mike Reichbrandt. On the phone, we have Annetta Catchings, a Trump supporter and just a private citizen going about her business. She was harassed by a white liberal woman for voicing her opinions. Annetta, go right ahead. Continue with your story.
Okay. So, like I said, the gentleman comes over. He's trying to bring calm to the situation, but he refuses to talk to her. He's only talking to me. And yes, one may say it's because my voice was the loudest. But he clearly saw what had happened. He saw the exchange. And I think on some level he too was offended, because when he came into the conversation, you could hear him say, everyone has a right to believe in whatever it is they want to believe. And of course I agree with him. And I said, exactly. But you could hear her say, no. You could hear her say, no, in fact, they don't. And so he knew that he could never, if he talked with her, he knew that he would then have that they would not be in agreement with each other. But nevertheless, he still should have taken it to her. So anyway, I'm agreeing with him. Yes, everyone should be able to feel or, you know, vote the way they do. And at some point he just frustrates me because he continues to avoid her. And I tell him, man, just go. Go sit down somewhere. And at that point, I think it emboldened her. She thought, you know, she's looking at the situation, and she then gets up and she comes back in my face again. She stands over me and she gets back in my face again and tells me that I am in complete denial. And what she meant by that, she went on a rampage about Trump being a felon and, you know, accused of espionage and blah, blah, blah. I was just not going to get into a back and forth with her because I'm just not going to do that. I've had these type of discussions. And in situations like that, people like her believe, they firmly believe what they believe. And there is just no turning them from that. And so that would not have gone over well had I gotten into a back and forth with her. My resolve was to let her know, you have no right. And why is it that it's always your archetype, your type of woman that challenges me? And I want her to really think about that and realize how condescending it is, how racist it is. You know, some people may argue that it's not, but I think that it is because I just think that it is. I mean, it's just not having any situational awareness of the fact that here you stand as a white woman and you're questioning my choice, you know, basically telling me that I'm uneducated because I'm not supporting your candidate. So it just lacks situational awareness altogether. But anyway, so we fast forward. The manager then comes in and he asked me what happened. I told him that the woman attacked me, got in my face. He then turns away from me and he talks to her seatmate. At this point, I don't think she's even in the frame. She walked away and did something. But we now know that this was her sister, told the manager exactly what happened, that we were having a private conversation and that her friend, this is how she referred to her, she said, my friend got in the woman's face. So the manager makes the decision to have them move. And I was upset that he was willing to move them and not ask her to leave. And I know, had the tables been turned in my mind, if I had attacked this woman not once but twice and caused, you know, this commotion in an establishment, I just really believe that any manager would have asked me to leave. You know, and what he should have said in my mind is we run a certain establishment. This, our establishment, we do not condone this type of behavior. We're going to have to ask you to leave. Clearly, you've upset one of our customers. It, you know, even your friend confirms that you started it, you initiated it, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. That would have been the proper thing to do. Even if he had asked me, ma'am, you know, what would you like me to do in this situation? Are you okay? Or do you feel safe with her here? I would have appreciated that, but there was none of that. There was total placating to Patricia. I mean, at one point, the manager even said to her, I appreciate your moving. And the whole thing just reeked of, you know, just not, you know, willing to hold her accountable. So anyway, she moves, and at some point she comes back to our table and gets back in my space to say her final say. And at that point I was just like, are you kidding me? I don't even know what happened at that point. Things become, my memory is a little sketchy at that point. But I do know She came in quickly and left, and then the restaurant sent out another employee to talk to me to try to calm, you know, to calm me down and to explain to me that, you know, the manager is a good guy. You know, at that point, it was a private conversation between me and David, and I won't really, you know, reveal what some of what he said to me. But I will say this: David was sent out to convince me that this was not racial, but it was a situation of right and wrong. And at that point, I didn't really care if it was, you know, how they viewed it. I just felt that no one was concerned about my well-being, how I felt. I just felt publicly demeaned in that moment. So, but David's a nice guy and everything. I have no issue with him. We settled up our bill and we left. Well, we had already paid our bill initially, but we had a friend who had her meal packaged up and we left. So, so that's really what happened. Yeah.
But no, my first question is, how did you not scream in this girl's face some four-letter words that we can't say on television? I would have,
well,
trust me, the three guys you're talking to on this line, we would have said some choice words.
Right. Well, you know what? I had two things going on. One is that, you know, I really didn't want to I knew what the headlines would be if this thing really went south. You know, I ran for office in Alexandria. I ran for mayor, and I did really well. I got 32% of the vote. I ran as a Republican. I was unabashedly supportive of Trump, and you know, I didn't run away from that or try to, you know, run to the middle of any sort. So there's that. And I also served as chair of the local GOP, the ARCC, Alexandria Republicans committee. I was chair for about a year and a half. So I knew what the headlines would be. You know, if you could just imagine former mayor, no, it would have led with Trump supporter, former mayoral candidate for mayor, chairperson of local GOP attacks Harris supporter. I mean, all these things, those two things were going on in my mind. You know, what I would be losing if I hit her, and what the headlines would say. I mean, the whole left wing media apparatus would have come around that story and fully supported her. So I was just not going to give her that. Not right. At a time where it was most important, you know?
Right. You're better person than myself. But anyways, Mike, I'll give it to you first. You have any questions, comments, concerns for our guest?
I just want to say, first of all, commend her on her composure, her ability to keep her composure and to be clear and concise. And, you know, God bless you. That's a awful circumstance to be in. And it's just, it's unfortunately just another example of just how deranged a lot on the left are.
But anyways, let's hold that thought. We're coming to our next break. And now, could you stay for one more segment?
Sure.
Outstanding. Stay tuned, everybody. We're talking about Annetta Catchings. Also, we got a big election that we still have to talk about. This is 7-5 Radio on the Libby News Radio Network. Take away, boys.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
your...
Right now, with an important alert, home title fraud is one of the fastest-growing white-collar crimes in the country. Criminals can make millions on your house without you even knowing it. Michael, you were one of those criminals?
Yeah, that's right. I was responsible for about $16 million in equity theft and title fraud.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was easy to do. It's just paperwork. So by the time you find out what's happening, the equity in your home is already gone.
So how do you keep your property and equity safe? For more, here's Action News reporter Ron Stevens.
Well, Monica, an in-depth investigation found there's actually just one company that prevents this type of crime from happening, Equity Protect. Equity Protect scans, monitors, alerts, and most importantly, protects you from any attempts to tamper with or steal your home equity and ownership 24 hours a day. Other companies merely monitor. Equity Protect stops the crime from happening. Find out if you're already a victim or take a free risk assessment today at EquityProtect.com. That's EquityProtect.com.
Authorities destroying tens of thousands of pounds of marijuana plants at greenhouses in northwestern New Mexico.
Authorities say dozens of agents were assigned to eradicate the plants in October. State regulators had started the process of revoking the license of NNK Equity, having filed a non-compliance order and a default order earlier this year. The company was accused of not posting its licenses on site, failing to obtain water rights for cultivation, and violating sanitation and health requirements.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. In Minnesota, police say a man shot and killed his wife and son, then killed his ex-partner and their son before turning the gun on himself. Police say the man had a pattern of mental health issues. Three people killed, several have been wounded when a suspect opened fire in a Pennsylvania apartment. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Of the union representing thousands of Philadelphia mass transit system workers, agreeing now to delay a potential strike, saying progress was being made in ongoing talks. Transport Workers Union Local 234 members had voted to authorize the strike once their one-year contract with the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority expired on Friday, but the two sides did agree to continue the talks. The union's top demand is for improved personal safety for frontline workers and a wage increase. The man who voiced America's Online famous You've Got Mail has died. Elwood Edwards died at his home in North Carolina. His daughter said that he had suffered a stroke. He recorded that greeting in 1989. Elwood Edwards was 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop standing with Walter Yerku and Mike Rigbring and our guest, Annetta Catchings, who was at a coffee shop in Alexandria, Virginia, talking about her support for Donald Trump. And this white liberal Karen was all up in her face. Walter, what say you? I know you are very opinionated about everything and do not hold back whatsoever. You have any questions, comments, or concerns?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, Annetta, welcome to our little corner of the world. And I just want to say off the top, it's nice to see somebody. Well, your situation is terrible. But it's nice to see somebody that isn't famous, didn't become famous, like that Hawk Tour girl. You have quite the ununique story. And I say ununique because there are so many people that, and I'm not going to use that word uneducated like them damn liberals. I'm going to say you dealt with someone who was quite uninformed, somebody who just listens to MSNBC and ABC and just one side of the spectrum. You'll find on this show that I look at both sides all the time. I'll watch that show, a liberal show. I'll watch, a conservative show, a left show, a right show. And you can tell who are the uninformed. I respect your stand for your right for the First Amendment because you were having a private conversation, although out in public, you really can't. You're not private in public.
Right.
But
right.
For her to listen and then make a statement about it, you see, that's where the First and 14th Amendment gets sticky.
Right.
She has the right to say that she doesn't believe in what you believe in, and that's okay. However, these amendments, amendment rights stop when she does what she did to you. It turned into harassment, which is a low crime. And then she came back at you a third time on the way out.
Right.
I'm guessing the reason that he didn't ask the manager didn't ask her to leave is he didn't want. Once a manager asks somebody to leave, they're not going to get the bill paid. So that's one reason why he didn't want her to leave.
No. Actually, the bill is paid when you, in this establishment, you pay the bill when you order. So by the time you get your food and drinks, it's already paid for. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So further down with your rights as a person, you acted like a lady. You acted like a mature person, an informed person. And, I don't know about you. Obviously about you, you acted like a lady. I would act like a gentleman in that situation if I was in your shoes. Until it was time to not be a gentleman anymore.
There comes
a time where everybody has an ending where enough is enough. You can either get up and leave the restaurant or you can mace them in the face. Both in my world are acceptable. So I commend you. I commend you on your actions and you stood your ground. You stood your ground and you have every right to stand your ground. And unfortunately, you lost your mayoral candidacy. However, there's always another time. You never know. This woman, we'll see, Mayor Annetta and go, oh, my goodness. some people just don't know. It's like road rage in a restaurant. It's ridiculous. There's no reason for it.
Right. And what's scary is that she's a quote unquote federal security expert. I mean, of course, Twitter doxed her. And a lot of her contracts, her resume is just littered with NPOs and NGOs, and she makes her money off of this military industrial complex. She's a big supporter of the war in Ukraine, and she she advocates for more funding. So for someone to be so well plugged and connected, it's kind of scary how misinformed she is on the indictments and cases against Trump. So you would just expect someone like that to just be a little more knowledgeable. But that is what our legacy media has done. You know, it has radicalized people from all walks, from no matter your level of education. Some of the most educated people have been radicalized and misled by mainstream media. And so it's just really scary that these are the people who are at the wheel, you know.
Right. Well, anything else you want to comment about this incident?
No, this is a nice lady. This is a lady that needs to be recognized for standing up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And that's why we brought you on 75 Radio. One thing about this show, we bring on ladies with class. But anyways, back to the incident. Have you had any mainstream media coverage? Because I know, I'm sure, social media blew up, Twitter and TikTok and Facebook. But have you anybody reached out from the local TV stations or newspapers?
No one from the newspapers, and you can only imagine why, right?
Yep.
You know, if the tables were turned, or if I had hit her, that would have been the story that they would have gone with, and they would have used it to the fullest. But because I gave her nothing, no, the media kind of stayed away from this, especially given that there was just an election a couple of days away. I did get I was approached by NBC News 4, which is a local network in Alexandria. And even with that, I was misled as to how that story would come out. I didn't know that Patricia would be part of it. But, you know, in hindsight, now I see that it was just a way of legitimizing her claim that I attacked her and that the aggression was equal. And it gave her an opportunity to clean up her mess to some degree and offer me an apology. But it was chock full of lies and an apology at the very end. But I, you know, to me, if you lie, you cancel out your apology. So, but no, that's the only news coverage. That's the only, you know, news coverage that it got.
Of course. But yeah. Now that you realize
it went so viral, it's kind of nice that it was just all grassroots. It was just podcasters and just, you know, people on the ground who picked up the story and could identify with these type of people in their pockets of the country. And that's why it went viral, you know?
Right.
I'm not alone in it.
Right, exactly. And myself, we live in the same neck of the woods in the DMV, and we see these people day in and day out. And I watch this, it's like, I know a thousand of these people. I see these people all the time, and the Trump people are scattered like the resistance in World War II. But another question: has anybody come up to you to apologize? What happened? The owner of the shop? The
No, nothing. The restaurant, I've not had any apology, nothing, no acknowledgement for it. Now Patricia, I have to say, she DM'd me when was it? I think it was after I did Judge Joe Brown, so that was the day before the election, she DM'd me through Facebook, and I don't even know if it was her. This is the first time I'm even talking about it. But she extended maybe what she believes to be an olive branch, asked me to come out and have a reconciliation breakfast at Taco. Anyway.
Okay. Anyways, yeah. We'll come back. We'll talk about the election. Another, you want to stick around or are you going to call the night?
Yeah, I'm gonna dip out. But I thank you guys for having me on tonight.
All right, Annetta, thanks for coming on. We'll talk about the Trump win coming up next. Stay tuned on Certified Radio.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
And we are back. Scoop staying with Walter Yurkow and Mike Reichbrandt. And as usual during the commercials, I was doing my due diligence, looking at the Instagram account of our spokesmodel, Danella Rodriguez. Go follow her on Instagram at danella.fitnessmodel on Instagram. Anyways, we can't thank Annetta for coming on the show to talk about what happened. And, folks, I'll tell you, I knew exactly what she's going through because these people don't give a flip about your personal rights unless you toe the party line. But, anyways, we had a little election on Tuesday. The three of us was on election roundtable with Sam, James, the great Miz, and a whole bunch of other people. But, anyways, I want to give the Florida Walter, who came up with the brilliant analysis yesterday. Walter, take it away.
Oh, man. Which analysis was that?
About the election.
Yeah, I know. We talked so much yesterday. I don't know which analysis. I went off three times yesterday.
Well, just recall the conversation.
Oh, I was probably drinking. I don't know. First thing that comes to mind is, hey, we won. More power to the Don. He came through, with flying colors, with his all the nonsense that they put him through the past 8 years. He still won. All the Democratic Party did was push off the inevitable. If they didn't fix the election in 2020, they'd be rid of him. As of this week, And then they can, you know, come into, you know, then whoever won, probably not Pence. But then if a Democrat took over, you know, January 25, then they could come in and screw up our country. But since we put a stop to them screwing up our country, the dawn will start fixing things, you know, as everybody says, day one. He's already started to fix stuff. So he's on his way. You know, all they did was push off the inevitable. And I think you guys would agree with me that they made it so difficult so he wouldn't come back, but he showed them. He took a stand and he showed them. Now they're all scurrying around and they're afraid. And you have these governors, including that clown Tim Walz, all over the country, five or six of them that I heard, that if he thinks he's coming to my city and take away my citizens' rights, he's going to have to come through me. And the New Jersey guy said he'll fight to the death, you know, with Donald Trump if he comes. You see, the point is that that's not on his agenda. That's not even a thought in his head to come in and take people's rights away. So, you know, they're fighting a ghost. They're shadow boxing. You know, they're calling out a bully that doesn't exist. So they look tough. So in 4 years, when Donald leaves, they're going to say, see, he didn't come in and take my citizens' rights because I told him, you know, I'd fight to the death. So it's a smokescreen. They're already preparing for 2028. They just have to stick some idiot up there on the podium, maybe Gavin Newsom, or maybe even Tim Walz will probably throw his hat in the ring in 28. Definitely, if Biden doesn't push through Kamala Harris to the SCOTUS position after they try to force out Sotomayor, she'll run for president in 2028 again. So, you know, it's a clown show. It's a clown show. And it's a clown show that I refuse to watch or listen to, but I laugh at.
Wow. Mike, what say you about the Tuesday's amazing election?
First and foremost, I think Walt just nailed it hard. Absolutely epic. Thank you for that. As far as the election is concerned, it was the blowout we all expected, honestly. I mean, I know all the pundits are trying to play it down the middle or trying to talk up Kamala's campaign. Most of the media, they were trying to prop her up. But she never really campaigned. She had 107 days of avoiding interviews. And when she did have interviews, it was word salads and no real policy. You know, so how anybody's surprised that she got trounced so badly, that's surprising to me that they're surprised. Like, she did nothing. She did no real campaigning in any sense. You know, my race was a primary race local here in New York for a congressional, you know, district primary. You know, it was nowhere near the magnitude theirs was. And I did, you know, probably 100 times more interviews and appearances than she did. So how anybody's surprised is beyond me. You know, I think the outcome is exactly what you'd expect when one side is, you know, campaigning and being victimized at every level by a very corrupt system, and the other is just hiding.
And she's 20 million in the hole. And she's you heard that she's 20 million in the hole after spending
20 million.
Over $1 billion.
Lure under that money somehow.
See, now, you know, I didn't know that these stars that she had out there, you know, they came to speak for her. You know, we're paid $100,000, $500,000. Oprah got $1 million. So, you know,
Beyonce got $10 million.
Realize that. So these aren't fans of Kamala. It was a payday. You know, it was a payday. I could see paying their expenses and stuff like that, but to pay them to come and speak, they all lost any shred of credibility that they had to start with. And that includes the Obamas and the Clintons and any other so-called celebs that stood up at the podium on her behalf.
Were the Obamas and Clintons paid, Walt, you know?
What's that? I'm sure they were somehow, some way. That, you know, hey, she had a $1 billion budget. Of course.
$1 billion lost, but My take real quick is that I was surprised Trump did win because of what happened in 2020. Because if anybody knows me, I don't trust the government for anything. You know, we vote, you know, the voting machines, the 2,000 mules, the illegal aliens getting a vote, you know, all these other things, the ballots that come up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Like we said on Tuesday, Trump was president by 2 a.m. By 4 a.m., Biden was president. So I was pleasantly surprised that Trump not only won the Electoral College, but he won the popular vote. Because, but then again, here's another idea. You think the Democrats just threw her up there just to, so they can lose, and then in 28 they can put up Gavin Newsom?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that was the plan.
It's a distinct possibility. But, you know, whatever plan they had, you know, just blew up in their face anyway, because they've been exposed. They've been exposed as manipulators. So I think there's, you know, a good percentage of that 64 million people that allegedly vote for Kamala now realize, holy crap, I really screwed up, or I could have really screwed up our country. I just can't see 65 million people voting for higher cost of living in inflation. So, you know, that may have been padded, you know, who knows. But they couldn't fix this one because the turnout was so big. And I called it, you know, I called it a long time ago that this was going to be a landslide. And I also called it that if Trump won, Scoop was going to paint his toenails red.
Speaking of toenails, when I was looking at Danelle's Instagram account for her archives, is a short video clip, but Danelle's at some function looking like $1 million as usual, and starts with her right foot painting toenails. I started laughing, but anyways, I'll put a picture up. But what's with the painted toenails? It's not my, for the 100th time, it's not my foot. Mike, back me up on this.
That's 100% your foot. And listen, you're excited, and you know you paint your toenails red because you're a Republican. You're proud of it. We're not hating you, brother. We're supporting you.
Let the record show.
You're welcome here now.
Listen, let the record show I am independent. As of 2007, I became independent, number one. Number two, my toes look like garbage, so it's not worth painting my toenails. So it's not my foot from, September. Painting toenails. Anyways, does everybody have any other useful tidbits other than Scoop's alleged painted toenails?
Well, always. You know, we know what's going to happen in the next 4 years. Oh, well, we have a good idea what's going to be going on in the next 4 years. He's going to be pissing off a lot of people. He's already started pissing off the Democratic Party by hiring the first female chief of staff in presidential history, because he doesn't surround himself with you know, intelligent, strong women. He's picking his cabinet. There are people that, you know, don't want to be in his cabinet. They want to stay right where they are because they can help their own states. And that's fine. That's good, I believe, because the states, like Marco Rubio, he was up there on a cabinet list, and he wants to stay senator in Florida where he could do the best work, which I think is a good thing.
Right. Well, with the closing music, we'll talk about this next week because we got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about other than my toes. Anyways, for Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakeband, this is Peter Scoop Stan reminding you, you can make a difference. You did make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week.
For 7-5 Radio, for those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.